Williams, are you back?
Here.
And Ms. Duncan? Mr. Duncan. Dana Duncan. That always reminds me of I should tell this story. In one of my favorite movies is Radio Days, and it's Woody Allen's childhood. Young boys, 9, 10 years old, they're under the boardwalk, and they're looking with binoculars out at sea, trying to see Nazi submarines off of New York. And then they're talking about girls, or women. And one boy says, "When I get big, I want to marry Betty Grable." The other one says, "When I get old, I want to marry Rita Hayworth." And the other one says, "When I get old, I want to marry Dana Andrews." And it said, "Dana Andrews is a man." And he says, "She what?" So I'm sorry that I said Ms. Duncan. But whenever I hear Dana, I don't necessarily know what that means. Anyway. Okay. We're ready to go.
Particular case, however, substantial evidence is only met when the ALJ addresses the significance. provide evidence whether or not applicable to this position. When the ALJ's credibility determination rests upon objective factors rather than subjective considerations such as the plaintiff's demeanor, appellate courts have greater freedom to review the ALJ's decision. It is among other issues, which obviously I will not go into in greater detail because of the brief more than adequately addresses them. There are specific issues that I wish to emphasize to the court. First, even disregarding Dr. Koh's opinion and Dr. Schmalling's opinion, the ALJ found Dr. Chan was the most credible physician providing service. Yet, despite this, the ALJ failed to include all of Dr. Chan's prescriptions in his own findings of fact. The transcript on page 257 specifically indicates that Dr. Chan required or indicated that Mr. Woodward was not allowed to do any repetitive bending, yet no consideration is given for this impairment. Dr. Chan's prescription would, by definition of certain under the regulations, would eliminate certain categories of jobs from the overall number and would affect the application of the medical vocational guidelines, commonly referred to as the GRID. If the ALJ found specifically that he could perform a full range of light work, while not having the effect of laws and Social Security rules are binding on the commission, Social Security Rules 96-19 specifically indicates that the complete inability of a student would have his occupational base affected. Specifically, it would erode completely all unskilled sedentary work. Without the full testimony in this particular case, we have no idea of the effect of that limitation. The repetitive bending, Woodward's occupational base, failure of the ALJ to address this issue points to a lack of substantial evidence to support his decision. Another issue that needs to be addressed is what constitutes a consultative versus a treating physician. The administrative law judge discounted Dr. Koh's opinion in large part, finding that he was not a, quote, treating physician. The importance of this is based upon ruling 96-2P, which indicates that a doctor, a treating doctor's opinion, is to be given controlling weight. Woodward noted in his brief that it is our position that Dr. Koh is a treating physician, and that the distinction is drawn not upon the number of visits, but upon the actual physical examination of the person involved. For example, a records review is oftentimes done by the state agency, the DDS, Disability and Termination Service. This would be not a treating physician. However, a consultative exam or where a physical examination would be done would be a treating physician, and the application of Social Security Ruling 96-2P would apply. The government wishes the court to create some sort of a rule that one visit with a doctor does not create a treating physician relationship, and this is simply a fallacy. The number of treatments does not go to the admission or consideration of the opinion, but goes to the weight that the administrative law judge is to give. Additionally, there is an issue of credibility. There must be a logical bridge between the activities known and the ability to work. In this particular case, Woodward has indicated what his daily activities are. He's noticed that he takes his kids to school, goes to a kennel to care for dogs, does his dishes, watches TV, takes a morning nap, eats lunch, and goes to the kennel to care for the dogs. This court has already addressed similar type of activities.
Mr. Duncan? Oh, can't hear.
You can't hear it. Maybe it'll come up for air.
The government's expression on page 19 indicates that daily activities were inconsistent with those of a person experiencing disabled pain. It is not the government's position to make that statement, but the administrative law judge. Moreover,
tell in their rebuttal time?
You're in your rebuttal time. Have you already heard anything? With respect to educational bids, would have been eroded in respect to Rule 201.14. The evidence would have satisfied the disability ruling. Thank you.
Okay. Slipknot. He's going to be able to hear this, right?
Everything. Okay. Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Ann Lipnitz, and I'm here on behalf of the Commissioner of Social Security, Joanne Barnhart. It is our position that substantial evidence supports the Commissioner's decision that Mr. Lippert is not disabled and therefore not entitled to disability insurance benefits, and therefore we are asking the Court to affirm this decision today. As a starting point, I would like to clarify, it appears there is some confusion as to the outcome of the functional capacity evaluation, which was completed by Mr. Lippert on February 22, 1999. Mr. Lippert is relying on this evaluation to support the contention that he cannot perform a full day of light work. However, Mr. Lippert is misreading the results of the functional capacity evaluation. The functional capacity evaluation was conducted to determine whether or not Mr. Lippert could perform his past work as a heavy truck driver, which is classified as medium work. Indeed, the functional capacity evaluation found that he could not perform that work, and that is consistent with the ALJ's finding that he could not perform medium work. However, importantly, the physical therapist concluded that the plaintiff did meet all the maximum requirements for light level work according to the Department of Labor requirements, and also could meet all the maximum sedentary level Department of Labor requirements. I believe that the limitations that Mr. Lippert refers to in his brief, such as shortness of breath he experienced during testing and sweating, pertain to his ability to perform the medium work, not his ability to perform light work. This is significant because not only did the physical therapist conclude that he could perform a full range of light work, but that subsequently was adopted, that opinion, by Dr. Ismaili, who was Mr. Liebert's treating physician. Moreover, Dr. Chan also concluded that plaintiff could perform light work. While Mr. Lippert contends that the restriction on bending precludes his ability to perform light work, that interpretation is not borne out in the Social Security rulings. As cited by the Commissioner, Social Security Ruling 8515 indicates that a person who can stoop occasionally, for a person that can stoop occasionally, the sedentary and light occupational bases remain intact. I believe Mr. Lippert is relying on an interpretation of Dr. Chan's opinion that would give him a complete inability to stoop. That is not what Dr. Chan concluded. Dr. Chan concluded that he could not repetitively bend, and therefore the occupational base is not eroded, and the reliance on the grids was appropriate in this case by the ALJ. So, in terms of substantial evidence, we have a physical therapist evaluation indicating that he could perform a full range of light work. We have the opinion of plaintiff's treating physician, Dr. Ismaili, who deferred to that evaluation in rendering his opinion, the opinion of Dr. Chan, who is a treating neurosurgeon, a specialist, who indicated that he could essentially perform a full range of light work. We have two state agency physicians who reviewed the medical evidence and opined that Mr. Lippert could perform light work. Moreover, objective tests also indicate that following the second surgery, Mr. Lippert did not have any evidence of nerve root compression. There was, and Dr. Chan opined that plaintiff's pain was not radicular pain, but rather muscular in nature. The ALJ also considered the fact that he treated his pain with ibuprofen and hot baths, and there was no more radical treatment required. In terms of Dr. Koh's opinion and the contention that he is a treating physician, I would simply refer the court to the regulations 404-1527, I think specifically D2, which outline the factors considered in a treatment relationship and indicate that this doctor only examined him one time. He did not recommend any treatment, and therefore that went to the weight afforded to that opinion, especially considering that it was inconsistent with the great weight of the evidence in this case. Finally, I believe that plaintiff's contention that the ALJ erred in assessing his credibility is also not borne out by reading of the ALJ's decision. The ALJ certainly considered Mr. Lippert's extensive daily activities, which included part-time work at a dog kennel, which involved mixing 15-pound bags of dry dog food. It involved sweeping out cages for dogs, doing general maintenance in that facility, on top of which he also cared for his children, drove them to and from school, prepared meals for them, was also able to engage in computer games and to engage in woodworking and other sorts of hobbies and activities each day, and that was his statement. But also, the ALJ considered the lack of objective findings, which supported Mr. Lippert's contentions of disabling pain, and of course, the rather conservative treatment that was recommended for Mr. Lippert. Therefore, based on the overwhelming evidence in the record, the commissioner's position is that substantial evidence supports the ALJ's decision that Mr. Lippert could perform a full range of light work and therefore was not entitled to disability insurance benefits. Does the court have any questions? Thank you.
I don't believe so. Thank you. We have 1 minute, Mr. Duncan. Okay, thank you. The case will be taken under advisement. Thanks to both counsel. And I believe we're in recess until tomorrow at 9:30.
How many of you thought Maine had done? I wanted to marry Dana Hanson, too.
You keep this right for now.